Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Well, given all that we've heard over the last couple of months and years, it's looking increasingly likely that the rules regarding how the military investigates claims of sexual abuse are going to change. But a similar story of abuse within another American institution is getting a lot less play in the news, but it really does bear a close listen. Last week, Rick Curl, a former USA swimming coach, was convicted and sentenced for 7 years for sexually abusing Kelly Curran. She was one of his swimmers. Curran alleges that officials within USA Swimming knew about the abuse and did nothing. Sound familiar? She's calling for them to be fired. Kelly Curran is not the only person alleging that a culture of sexual abuse in USA Swimming is a reality. Catherine Starr is an Olympic swimmer who competed in the LA and Seoul Games. She founded the Safe for Athletes organization in 2011 and spoke with me a little earlier.
I've gone through life. I'm 30 years removed from my sexual abuse and from my coach who did go to prison. And the pain and the severity that I have gone through my entire life was so significant that I felt that I couldn't let another child walk through life like I have.
And you, like Kelly Curran, allege that it's not just abuse that she experienced or abuse that you experienced as individuals, but this is pervasive. I mean, that's quite the charge.
I swam at the University of Texas with Kelly. And from since I've started Safe for Athletes, I've always known about Kelly since I was teammates with her. That was common knowledge throughout our swim program, as well as actually throughout USA Swimming. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. But there's a very elite team. Four of about 20 swimmers were sexually abused by their youth coaches, myself being one, Kelly being the other. So that's a very small group of very elite swimmers to have experienced and just kind of tell you the depth of the problem that has been happening over the decades.
Now, Rick Curl, the former USA Swimming coach that we just mentioned, was sentenced, went to prison for 7 years. But one of your points here is that there hasn't been accountability across the organization. And I want you to talk about that a little bit, about accountability. We have a statement from Chuck Wallace, who's the executive director. I'll bring that in a moment. But what's your view on the level of accountability or lack thereof?
Well, the problem is, I mean, I could name for you right now four coaches that have produced Olympians and in some cases in the Hall of Fame that have allegations towards them. And not one of them over the years has been investigated. And actually, I brought up to Susan Wessner in regards to an allegation, several allegations that has come up against Mitch Ivey. And ESPN even did a story way back in the 90s and was fired from University of Florida for it and was informed that, well, he's on a list. So if he applies, you know, they would do something. Meanwhile, he's actively attached to the Swimming Coaches Association and working and consulting in that environment. So, you know, the lack of accountability over the years has been rampant, and they haven't taken this issue seriously and taken every effort to protect young swimmers.
Catherine Starr, let me read a statement that we got from USA Swimming Executive Director Chuck Wallace. We asked him for a statement and we received this. We remain committed to responsibly and diligently addressing any issues we have within our organization, and I'm proud of the good work our Safe Sport program has done since inception in 2010. Since that time, 36 members have been sanctioned for code of conduct violations, 30 of whom have been banned for life. We continue to take action to remove individuals from our sport that should not be part of our member organization. That's a statement from USA Swimming Executive Director Chuck Wallace. So that's his case, Catherine Starr, for accountability. 36 members sanctioned, 30 who have been banned for life.
So, there's many more of our elite coaches who we haven't taken responsibility for, as I mentioned, for others that I could name those for you with all those allegations, that they haven't done enough. And actually, the only way you're going to get banned, and the person who oversees that ban, is a swimmer by the name of Jill Johnson Chasen, who's married to her swim coach, who makes a determination on whether a coach has been engaged inappropriately with another athlete. So it's a very incestuous within the swimming community, even with determining who gets banned. Prior to the Safe Sport program, issues came up repeatedly, especially in the case of Kelly and Rick Curl. And if you look at one of the allegations that Kelly has asked is about Mark Schubert, whom I swam with Kelly at Texas and became knowledge of. And if you look at Scott Reed actually documented his efforts where he did go to Chuck Wilgus over the course of time. And he is on three different occasions while Rick Curl remained coming into headquarters in Colorado Springs and participating actively while everybody sort of turned the other way. That's not leadership.
And Catherine Starr, I mean, one cannot escape the parallels between the things that you're describing, at least, and what we know happened at Penn State with Jerry Sandusky and the coaches there. It smacks to me of some of the complaints about sexual assault in the military, where when people complain, they wind up sort of complaining to a hierarchy that's not necessarily invested in solving the problem. I don't know if there's a direct comparison between swimming and the military, but some of these comparisons are inescapable. And I wonder if it's the fact that a lot of people aren't aware of swimming, except every 4 years during the Olympics, maybe, that helps this sort of stay in the shadows. I don't know.
Well, that certainly could be the case. I mean, the commerciality of the sport, which is getting a lot more commercial with, you know, money and investments and sponsorship and the high profile of Michael Phelps. I mean, that certainly keeps the sport a little bit more engaging throughout the, you know, in between the 4 years. You know, but it's definitely like Penn State. It's definitely like the military. I have spoken to numerous parents, and the parents come to me when all the doors have been shut and they're trying to get, you know, justice for their child. And that's not an isolated incident. That's the norm. And then the other issue here is the type of relationship that female athletes, I actually refer to this as athlete domestic violence, and the fact that they get into a sexual engagement with their coach. And often cases with the child even being 15, 16, the parents turn a blind eye to this. And this is very pervasive in sports and very pervasive extremely in swimming itself.
Catherine Starr, Olympic swimmer and founder and president of Safe for Athletes, swam with Kelly Curran at the University of Texas. Now, one of Kelly Curran's coaches, Rick Curl, former USA swimming coach, convicted and sentenced for 7 years for sexually abusing Kelly Curran. Catherine Starr is now speaking out. Catherine, we thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
We did ask USA Swimming for an interview. A link to their full statement can be found on the website at thetakeaway.org. Our thanks again to Catherine Starr, Olympic swimmer and founder of Safe for Athletes. A final word now for the time being on your oldest and fondest gadgets from JP in Asbury Park in New Jersey. I have one of the first smartphones released with a Windows operating system to compete with the Palm Pilot. Everybody made fun of me because it was so big compared to the phones of the day, which were smaller flip phones. Ironically now, everyone's smartphones today, though thinner, are the same size as my thick Windows phone. And I would say to you, JP, that being a bit of a Luddite when it comes to technology is a lot sweeter when there's victory at the end, isn't it? You can find us online at thetakeaway.org. Call us at 8778-MYTAKE. Of course, you can tweet us at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. Next time, join me here in New York and John Hockenberry in Mexico City. Together, this is The Takeaway.